afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. It's Keisha. How are you?
Keisha, how are you?
We're maintaining.
Well, Happy New Year anyway.
Happy New Year to you. How was your holiday?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
That's
and it was my, my granddaughter in Nashville. That was as good as it gets.
Oh, that's wonderful. How was the weather?
7 degrees.
That's cold.
Yeah, that was cold. That was very cold. So.
That was cold. So let me get Chantel here. I'm going to run and get my notepad, but I have Chantel here, too, okay?
Hi, Chantel. Yeah, hey, hi, Chantel.
How you doing?
Good, good. Wonderful. That's, thank you.
That's good. Yeah, we're, it's been a busy start to the year. Not in a bad way. It's been good. Just a lot going on with Christmas and the team. So I know when Gerald comes in, we'll update you and everything, but
okay.
Yeah, we're excited for 2018.
If you subscribe.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, we haven't had a problem with the stock market so far, have we?
No, we haven't.
We have one thing going for us.
Right, exactly. We have not had any issues there.
No, that's been, what a blessing.
Yes.
Amazing. 2 years, it's just amazing.
I know.
Well, I think we're going to, with the tax cut, well, I think it isn't priced in. I think we're going to get another 2 years out of this thing. This
you
is really exciting.
2 years
what? The market's going up.
All right, 2 years. All right.
Yeah. You know, every tax cut we've had in the past, it took them 2 years to really understand it.
What did you say? You're sorry, Rob. What did you say?
I said every tax cut we've had in the past, it took them 2 years to understand it and react to it. It sounds crazy, but people are very slow in changing.
Mm-hmm.
And even top executives are slow.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is you're not going to really get it through the economy until 24 months. When we cut the dividends under Clinton, when they went to 15% dividend, exclusion, and they went to capital gains of 15%, the market really didn't understand it and get it until about 2 years later. And then they started buying up the high dividend paying stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just, buying municipal bonds and other things. Now, the market's faster today and everything reacts faster, but I still think that they really can't comprehend the, I guess Jamie Dimon was on today and talked about, he's just 100% on board. I mean, he just cannot imagine how, Rick, my brother watched it, I didn't see it, but he said, it's the most bullish he's ever seen Jamie Dimon. He was just like all in. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to the country. It's going to be fabulous for the economy. And we're going to do fabulous. We're investing.
And he's opening 400 more branches from what, he's opening branches everywhere. J.P. Morgan doesn't open up branches.
Yeah.
I mean,
They really don't.
Yeah.
This is shocking. I mean, all those new employees, all this stuff going on. I mean, it's going to be shocking to the market, I think. And so. That's why, I think we'll have our ups and downs, but that's why it hasn't gone down yet, because I think it just still can't quite comprehend, how good it's going to be. And so they're still trying to adjust to it and find a level, and then it'll get bouncy and bumpy, but until then. Anyway, that's not what we call for. I'm not an economist.
Well, you're probably more right than they are then.
Well, 44 years of experience tells you something, and I've seen them up and down and all around, and they're never quite, we used to say Bob Farrell predicted, 12 out of the last 4 recessions.
Right, right.
They're some guys that are just always bearish, and he was one of them. So you listen with a grain of salt. You know, you learn from them, but you just don't take their advice. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so how was your year, and how did you end up? And give me a little bit of the numbers. I'm interested in your asset growth and production credit growth and year over year. 17 versus 16.
We were we were actually up asset wise. We did fairly well asset wise.
We started last year at what, 130 million? 130, and we ended up all in at 151.
Something like that.
And that's after giving clients away and all of that. So a decent number as far as growth of assets, and we're still growing some as we're shifting some out, and unfortunately we got a couple back, but
okay.
Hello?
How about production? How did you end up the year, and how much were you up?
We were up 8%. We didn't
meet our production
goal. Yeah.
But we still did well considering we were, I'm glad you had, because I didn't want to say it on the nose, but this was awesome. I have the numbers somewhere, so I don't grab them, but I just remember we were up, I don't know if you're saying, but I know we were, we haven't, okay, because we were, I feel funny because we just went over this, like,
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, but it was, we finished at 1.3. We finished at 1.3.
Mm-hmm. And our goal was 1.5.
Yeah.
But I think I remember the one thing that we did mention in the meeting when we talked about how we ended up, how the year ended, was that I think the fear, the initial fear of like, man, we're going to lose all these assets and all this revenue, but really we didn't. And we were kind of flat in certain areas, which was good for us because it showed us that, man, the people that we were reassigning really were actually just not adding much value to our business, so mm-hmm. we thought that they were.
And they were taking time away from.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we finished, so it was 1.3. Our goal this year is 1.5.
Is it 1.5? Okay.
Yeah. Trying to get a 1.5 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And are you pretty much annuitized in terms of fee-based services? And
Our issue is the transactional stuff. We're beginning to do some now with long-term care and that sort of thing. Our business, we are probably 98%, about 90% recurring revenue.
Oh, wow.
So our issue is to get out and to get more assets in, because we, you know, that's kind of what we do. So our, you know, whenever we can get some transactions, we do a few, but not enough to really juice the compensation
and
revenue growth.
But I also feel that we did in this last year, we gathered some assets, so we're breaking them in, and then this year we're gathering assets that are coming in too. So mm-hmm. I think we're on track.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I mean, it's not flat, so there's activity. Mm-hmm. We're having activity to generate new money come in.
I think we've created a platform that we're able to receive the assets, and because of the calls, we're able to talk more about assets.
Right.
In the world is that?
Yeah.
Are you hearing what we're hearing? Or?
Yeah, I'm in an airport, so I apologize for that, but I'm, you know, between flights and don't want to miss a call with you guys, so we'll have to tolerate a little bit of
Well, we're glad you put us in, and you made arrangements to not fly out when you had this time. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, It was funny today. I was up in, I was at Wake Forest University and had a meeting, and then we had a ball game last night, and then lost to Duke, unfortunately. But then I did a call at 9, and then I drove to Charlotte, and then I did 2 other calls, and then this one, and then we jump on a plane as soon as I'm over this call.
Well, why didn't you come to us?
I should have.
You've been promising you were going to see us. So that's how you do us now. Okay, now we know. Now we know.
This is university business. This is fun business.
Oh, okay. All right. University. Yeah. Well, my goddaughter is a cheerleader at Wake Forest.
Come on, I probably saw her. I saw her last night then.
Yeah, I know you saw her. You couldn't
Oh, you got to send me, can you send me a picture of her? Seriously.
She was the tallest one there.
Oh, that's a riot. That's great.
Well, I know you didn't miss her. I know you didn't miss her. Wake Forest, man. You probably saw her coming as a fan. All right, okay.
We were in the front row. I mean, the second row. We were in the second row. So she would have been right on top of us, you know. That would have been fun. I swear, my wife noticed all the cheerleaders, but I wasn't paying any attention.
Of course you were. That was the same way when I got there. I didn't know they were there.
Next time I'll know. I'm coming back to see the Clemson game, so I will pay attention. What's your name?
Carlisle Cooper. Carlisle Carrington Cooper. Briefing.
That's great. Well, I'll find out who she is. I'll check up on her.
She's tall.
They are really a wonderful group of people. I'm telling you, I've just been very impressed. I haven't been back, you know. I haven't spent any time there for 30 years and just busy working and all that. Now I'm, you know, somewhat retired. I have time to go and get involved. So I'm on the Deacon Board. For promoting athletics and scholarships and things like that. So it's been fun. Okay. It's been a great year for me. So just one thing in terms of products and services, you know, when you do your 24-month calendar, be sure to add in liabilities. I'll tell you why. I have been, you know, as I say, baseball's been better than good to me. So I have got, you know, the ability to lend money to my children if, in fact, they need it. So, they go to get mortgages and, you know, they don't have enough money in terms of income to qualify for a mortgage or something like that. So I step in and become the bank. So we do a securitized loan based on, you know, my assets. It's not a big pain for me. I can borrow it, you know, 3% or 4%, lend it to them. They make more principal print payments then and can buy, you know, just a nicer house or whatever. And so it's just been a nice way for parents and grandparents to step in and actually be of help to kids and grandkids. So you just think about that as part of your... The other thing I did was I helped my brother out by consolidating some credit card debt and refinanced it at, you know, at 3% instead of 15%. Mm-hmm. So there's things you can do when you've been blessed by heaven and earth to provide help for others, and this is one way without putting yourself out dramatically.
Yeah.
Help. And you guys can, you know, just, people just don't know they can do that. You know, they just
right.
aren't familiar with it. So
right.
they don't even know how to help out their kids. They think they have to buy them a house and do something like that. You don't. You don't want to take that wonderful privilege away from them, but just acting as the bank can make it really easy for them. And
mm-hmm.
anyway, I throw that out as a, you know, to put in, and you get paid for that. So it's a nice thing for you to do without disrupting the fee-day services, and, you know, it's not that complicated. It's not as hard as doing a mortgage. And and then the parents feel very empowered. At least I do. But I can actually do it well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I throw that out there.
Okay.
So in terms of numbers of clients being in the program versus clients not in the program, Supernova, what would you say? What percentage?
Say that one more time. Ask that one more time.
Yeah, how many clients, what percentage of your clients are actually getting 1242?
I would say, our VIP is about 85% done and working on the bus list now.
Good. Okay. Now, tell me about the reaction of your best clients to this. Do they like it? Do you feel like you're getting deeper relationships? Are you getting more money? Tell me some things that you're finding from these calls that are different from what you were doing before.
I think all of the above. I think that the relations, we've always had really good relationships with our clients, but it seems like they're deeper. We're finding out a little bit more about not what makes them tick, because we pretty much had that down anyway. But we are finding more assets. We're also finding that they are more prone to give us referrals now that they know what the expectations are for our clients. And Chantel and Jerry had a meeting with one of our clients today, and he wants to send us more business. He was very thankful for what we're doing, because we're not only just doing that, but we're doing the plans, obviously, to get deeper, to know more about you know, what they have and what they need. And he was thankful, because he didn't think he had enough money, and but he wanted to refer people to us and wanted to know, you know, what does it take.
Mm-hmm.
He sent us, by the way, some clients that just didn't fit in earlier years. They didn't have a whole lot of money. But now that he knows, he let them know about a relationship that it can be substantial.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finding that kind of information out that's real positive. And all in all, I mean, it's just all of the above. And we feel better because we're in contact with them. And, you know, we've got Chantel just, I'm not long-term care licensed, so Chantel just, we just did a long-term care policy on clients that, you know, that we might not have gotten it, or they might have gone somewhere else to their insurance agent or something. So,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
And they also look forward to the calls, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah, we just think, you know, I was kidding somebody today. I said, you know, getting rid of the anxiety in your life by knowing when your financial advisor is going to call, and that you can just make notes and then wait for them to call. You don't have to worry, and you don't have to play phone tag, and you don't have to be interrupted and all that stuff. But it's kind of like, as you get older, you want to get to the airport 2 hours early. And having, you know, knowing somebody's going to call you every month gives you that same kind of peace of mind that you get from being 2 hours early at the airport. You know, maybe may not make sense to some people, but the older you get, the more anxiety you have about life in general, unfortunately. And so most of our clients are older, and this just gives them peace of mind. So it's very nice. It's a It's a nice thing. It's a wonderful thing to do for them, particularly them. And then your busy clients too. So it's just everybody's anxiety is reduced. Your anxiety about not calling, their anxiety about not hearing from you, their anxiety about what's going on, all those things are reduced or eliminated, and everybody's happier. And then of course, they're more interested in helping you and referring you. So hopefully you're benefiting by that. That's the key, is that, you give, but you also, it's nice occasionally to get little gifts, you know, from your clients, like introductions, so.
I want to run that by.
Yeah.
On that note of, our clients aging and them being less anxious, I'm running into situations now with family where, my mother's been hospitalized and it still is. Tina's father is going through some issues. So our clients are kind of, Tina and I are in the sandwich generation, where we've got children, grandchildren, children and parents and all of that. But one of the things I'd like to do is to look at, I had to get a gerontologist for my mother. And I know, and just talking with a gerontologist, I knew what I did not know. I started finding out things that I didn't even think about, even though we've been exposed to that. And so we've talked about doing events for our clients. One had to do with personal fitness. But this also has another layer of why the fitness and nutrition comes into play. So what I was thinking is that we could do, and this is brand new, so this is hot off the press. I haven't shared this with anybody. So I was thinking about, no, it's a real option. I was really thinking about doing a series that dealt with how to age gracefully, some of the things that are needed for seniors that we need to be aware of. But also something in line in terms of the nutrition and personal fitness, taking care of yourself, along with something else. So I wanted to do like a three-part series, so that people could come to the first part, people could come to the second part, and they'll bring somebody else to the third part, So I'm thinking of that, but I'm also trying to think of, okay, how do we make it work? We're giving to give, but how do we make it work also? So I didn't know if you knew anybody that was doing anything in the line of geriatrics or preparation for geriatrics. And so I just wanted to run that by you. Those are my thoughts. So I'm just laying that out there. What are your thoughts?
No, it's a huge, we call them red letter days or transitions in our life. The good, when you get married, when you get promoted, when you have a baby, and when you transition, anytime you transition, it's a big deal. You leave your job. That's a big, you might not call it a red letter day, but it's a big day. And when you transition from your home to a retirement community, big day. And these are, are filled with tremendous anxiety. And helping people through those, particularly those two transitions, retirement, takes most breadwinners, whether male or woman, male or female, takes them about a year to get over the fact that they are no longer the kind of the center of the universe, and no one's calling them, nobody needs them, and now they're retired. So helping them through that, coaching them through that, having a series of professionals to introduce them to guide them through that, huge. We always think of having retirement seminars about what do you do with your money. Well, the money is oftentimes the least of their issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with, helping somebody that one spouse is ill and the other one, if they need assisted living, what does the other spouse do? You go to a retirement community. One's independent living, the other one's going into assisted living. How do you get a house?
Or if they elect not to go into those, but how do you How do you maintain either? What are your other options?
Right, care in place, you know, and, right. And what does that cost? And, right. And you know, what, and so there's, here's what I would be doing. I would be building a series of seminars, but I'd also be building a series of trusted advisors that you could call on to help these people through these transitions.
Right.
So let's say that they did have to, they don't have children, or the children are far away. They need to get into a community. They need either a consultant or you guys to help them find the right place to go. And then they need somebody to help them stage their house and get it ready for sale. And they need a realtor they can trust that's going to do a good job in selling their house. So they need all, but think of them as trusted advisors. Enthusiastically endorse trusted advisors. People that they, you can trust and they trust you. And think about a network of those people that you could truly rely on, like they were your brothers. Right, that the new would not screw you or the client. And that's really important. It's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that would be what I would be building today as my network of trusted advisors.
Okay.
And yes, the seminars are important and guiding people through that. And but this is where your trusted advisors could speak and you could refer them and feel comfortable with them. But they have to know that you're relying on them to be a trusted advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And really put it on them to think before they look for the easy dollar or the quick this or the that. You know, and so you never run into that situation where you have to apologize for somebody else. And that's what, guess what? That's what every advisor is looking for in you. Because that's what they worry most about. That somehow you're going to take advantage of somebody that they refer to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so for you to make it clear that confidentiality is critical, that trust is critical, then they're going to see that you value those things. And then they're going to be much more comfortable in referring you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I really do. And I think the world would be a better place if we had those people in networks. My goal is to have one of those people in a network in each community, okay? And then when I refer somebody into Columbus, I can refer them to you knowing that you not only have you, but you've got this comprehensive network of person that knows. I mean, look at the epidemic on drug abuse, right? So who are the best counselors? Who are the best people for an intervention in your community?
How to deal with that. With, you know, our client who had a child in Alabama.
Yeah, they're in Alabama. Do you know the best person in Alabama? That's the challenge.
Yeah.
So if you had a network of these people around the country that were part of a trusted group, you know, maybe it's a Christian group, maybe, but it's somehow it's a trusted group that you could rely on that would do, you know, beyond the normal. But would think, you know, I gotta do the best by these people, you know. So I'm gonna take a loss on this thing in order to make the group work, you know. So it's just that commitment to the group.
Sure.
But I think it's what the world needs. And
right.
I don't think anybody has it yet. I mean, I don't think it's out there. It's some of these mastermind groups are like that. But I don't hear that. I don't hear people talking about this.
I didn't have a clue. You know, my mother was in the hospital because her primary physician gave her the wrong medicine, then the hospital gave her the wrong medicine, and there's a list of medicines that should not be given to people over the age of 65. And a lot of people don't know that. Don't even know.
I know.
They don't know what's available. They don't know how to coordinate things. So, you know. So I think that's it. We have, you know, because of how our team is set up on the switch gear, you know, we're trying to cater to, quote-unquote, millennials, younger people to get our age our book is aging, and so we want to make sure that we don't do that. So we're, you know, part of what we do is to try to also communicate with the family members that are younger and to build relationships with them. But we've got to, you know, we've got to, I guess that's the same thing that everybody's dealing with. But keep making sure that our book doesn't become antiquated and gone, but also to have some new blood in there. That's it.
Well, let me just give you a, I think it's really important you maintain your minimums, though. And that's one of the challenges.
Yeah.
It's that, yeah, it's fine to get a 35-year-old as long as he has, you know, $10 million or $500.
Right, that's right.
But not, you know, there's a trap going to find younger people just because they're younger. I mean, that's, you know, in 1972 when I started, our average client was 65 years old. In 2018, our average client is
65
years old. And why? It's because that's when they need us.
They have the money.
They have the money. Exactly. They get their rollovers, they get their retirement money, and they have the money.
Right.
And when they're kids, they don't have the money. So do business and help the kids, but do business with the people that need you and have the money. Because there's a trap in spending and wasting time trying to get millennials.
Right.
That, to me, is a trap. And, you know, part of my job is to keep you from dropping into traps.
Okay.
So we want, we want to search for people that have our minimum. We don't really care where they, what age they group they are, but let me tell you, if you search for people with your minimum that are 65, you're going to have a whole lot better luck than 35.
Mm.
Okay.
Speaking on that, I was, I don't know if I was supposed to talk to Jerry about this, but I was talking to Tina last week about just how to leverage, like, Jerry and I, for example, because we are in that millennial generation, and I feel like, to be honest, like, in certain situations, we may relate more to somebody that's going to be between the 30 and the 40-something-year-old age group if we're going out to talk to people. So I would say millennials and Xers. And so, and I know that, because we, of course, want to, like, attract those people that can meet those minimums, but then it's like, well, I don't know if you know of anything that we could do that, or people, or types of clients that we should be going after if we want to look at that age group, as far as, like, profession. I mean, we have ideas, but we just want to make sure that we're being leveraged as far as, so that we can attract some of those
I've got a guy that's just starting out in the business, and I mastermind group, and he's so busy, he hasn't had time, and he hasn't really done it. So he came to me the other day and said, look, you know, I looked on the internet, and I found this company, and they have mastermind groups. Then you pay $1,400 a year, and you are a member of the mastermind group. I said, okay, sounds good, just make sure they don't have any financial advisors in there and make sure that their clients are the same demographics as your clients. You don't want to join a mastermind group where people have no money. Okay? Okay, so that's, to me, what you're, you know, that's the trap you can fall into, is that a bunch of hardworking people, but they, you know, they're 20 years away from meeting your minimums. And that's a waste of time, honestly. So, join a mastermind group, be the youngest person in the mastermind group, and, you know, where their clients, all the clients in the group meet their minimums. And that's a pretty good use of your time. The other thing is, look, you guys are there for the long term. You're not moving cities. You're not leaving. You're not going to another firm. You're there, okay? And so joining organizations that benefit the community. You know, you're prominent in the church. Of course you are. But I have a guy that I told to join, 2001, I told him to join two organizations in the community. He was younger, and he joined one charitable board and one arts organization. And then he eventually became president of the Kiwanis, and then hosted the International Kiwanis. He was president of that a hosting meeting for international, you know, 100-year anniversary. And he's been on 7 boards and has become president of each one of them and has built up, you know, millions and millions of dollars worth of introductions and referrals from those relationships. Because people see him as a community leader, giving back to the community and having made an impression. So you can either do it through a mastermind group, you can do it through community involvement and boards, and that's stuff that you guys would be great at because you're already doing it. It's what you do. I mean, you're involved in the community. So to me, that if you want to take some time and effort to be involved in the community that and to market yourself, that's the way to me I would recommend. You know, I'd probably have you join a mastermind group and have you join and be on 2 boards each. So, you know, think of the 6 of you guys, I mean, the 4 of you guys, the 5 of you, each joining 2 boards, it would be huge in the community. Mm-hmm. Give back a little bit of money and make a difference. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm on, you know, I'm kind of quasi-retired. I'm not really looking to grow my business. And I'm on, you know, 3 boards. And each one of them, if I was working, would give me the opportunity to grow my business dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just opens up people to seeing you in a very positive light.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I told another team today is they were, you know, they were doing all this stuff for charity, and I said, and getting these awards and all that, I said, make sure you post that, you know, those things on Facebook. I said, those are really important, that you have a team Facebook page and that you post those things, and that your LinkedIn page represents, you know, the same as your team brochure and that your same as your company website. Those should all be about you, your team, your pictures, and about your community involvement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, those are longer term things, but I think they can really be, you know, using technology to brand yourself is such an easy thing to do today that you really should take advantage of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anybody have anything that they want to talk to that turn in? Because we had some things that we talked about earlier that we wanted to run things off.
We were talking about, do we want to give them a pin on that? Like, okay. So, Rob, I don't know if you remember a prophet we mentioned last time who had 3 children who are all athletes. One is a professional NFL player, one is a track, he has a daughter who is going to be going pro track, and then he has a son that may be going pro NFL. And we kind of ran the scenario by you about how to make sure we he's a client now, but we want to get, of course, those people as clients too. And his whole thing was he wants to, for us to take care of him and his daughter. But we really also want his son. So just to give you an update, we did meet with him last week and it went really well. I kept kind of planting a seed about his daughter, just to see like when we can start meeting with her. And he said, sometime like closer to the middle of the year when her season is over. And Gerald kind of came up with the idea of figuring out how we can maybe go to her track meet if they're nearby. And so he said, okay, yeah, let me look into that. Let's see if I can get to the schedule. Well, just the good thing about that meeting was before we left, he was like, man, I need to get you in front of my boys. And we were like, you do need to get us in front of your boys. And when we were leaving the office, he was so just happy and he felt like positive about the decision he made to work with us because he feels like he's made the best decision and he's just really excited about working with us. And we just wanted to know, and well, just at least I wanted to know kind of from there, how do we make sure that we keep that whole idea of, course, servicing him, but wanting to service his entire family in front of him? How do we drip him and drip the family so that we can get them as clients, too?
And before you answer, I'm going to add one more thing. His son that plays NFL, that's in the NFL, loves his mother.
Oh, yeah.
And so we ended up sending his wife, the mother, birthday flowers. She didn't know who we were, and I think he explained it. But she's also one of the, I think the son really pays attention to his mother. We have not really met her yet, so I just wanted to let you know that as well.
Yeah, we've only met him.
Only met him, and he really likes her. So.
Well, you know, the best thing to do is to ask his advice. I mean, that's what we do each time, right? Do you think it's a good idea to work with your son? Yes. Okay. You know, obviously, your son's deaf. How would you suggest that we meet?
Well, you said after the season. Then,
yeah. He'll be right after the season.
Well, yeah.
So, just we're trying to figure out how to... And I mean, I will say this meeting, he was a little bit more forthcoming with things. At first it was like, well, those boys will do whatever they want. And then after this meeting, he was like, man, I need to get my boys at that track meet so they can meet you. So I don't know how to kind of play it.
Well, that's your answer. Why don't you get the whole team on to the track meet and meet them there?
I guess
that makes it easier. I think also too, I like the idea what you said yesterday too about the concert that's coming up in February to invite he and his wife there so we can meet her and so she can see how we are.
Right.
Okay.
Let's do that.
That's true.
Yeah, we've got tickets to a concert that we think that they both highlight. So.
Well, and the other, you know, look, it's management, it's client management, right? I'm a good client of Wake Forest University, so they've got a guy that calls me, sends me gifts. He just does wonderful things for me. Had me on the floor of the basketball game, right? And he just takes care of me. And he's the nicest guy in the world. I love him, and you know, Marcia loves him. My brother loves him. They got my brother for some donation, and he's not even go to Wake Forest because he's been so impressed with the level of service and what, you know, the comprehensive service.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's that personal tension, you know, that, you know, give me a hat from the belt bowl because I couldn't go, and, you know, just gave, you know, just a little gift here, a little something there, the flowers. But if they said, the best way to meet them is through this track meet, then he's telling you. The best way to meet them is through that track meet. And you just say, okay, we're listening.
Well, he basically just said, man, I need to get those guys. I need to get those guys at that meet. Basically, like, if he were to go to a track meet, he was like, I need to get them there. I don't know that if he... Like,
all right, go ahead, get the list of the track meets and where the best one is, and then go. You know, just follow up. Just be very conscientious about following up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to take some time, and your right to work, be, you know, treat the mother just the way you treat the father, and be very nice, and, you know, take good care of her and get to know her. She's going to like you guys. The more they know you, the more they're going to like you and trust you. You know, we're talking about this trusted group of advisors, right? The biggest problem that professional athletes have is just having bad people take advantage of them. And so you've got to have testimonials from people that trust you that say that you're the good guys. You know, that you can be trusted, that this is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can have, you know, people that know them give testimonials about you, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And then do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. These 12-4-2s build deep relationships. So make sure you're doing that. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's no magic to this. It takes time and it takes effort. You know, it took these guys 3 years to get me back into the fold at Wake Forest. But it's been worth it for them. So, you know, that's what's, you know, that's what you do. You just keep working on them.
Mm-hmm.
Invite them to different things, and they can't always go. And when they go, make sure they have a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Good deal. Sounds good. Anything else?
All right, guys.
That's it?
I better jump on this airplane, and you guys have a wonderful
You got two
month.
More hours. You got two more hours. All right. Robin, always good talking to you. All right. Take care.
Good talking to you guys. Hey, congratulations. Great year, and look forward to talking next month.
Thanks. All right. Good job. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.